Based on the biography of Helen Keller, the 1957 play, The Miracle Worker, tells the story of how one teacher simply refused to leave her pupil in the dark. Currently in production at the Kalamazoo Civic Theater, I spoke with the cast and crew on how this play has grown into a timeless lesson of moving past your limitations and turning them into your best strengths. Before she was known as an author, a humanitarian, a champion for women's rights, an advocate for the deaf and blind, Helen Keller was a bit of a tyrant. Born as a healthy, hearing, and sighted child, she became ill and lost those abilities before the age of 2. This left her parents unable to effectively communicate with her and handle her constant outbursts. Following a tip from telephone inventor Alexander Graham Bell, the Kellers visited the Perkins Institute of the Blind in Massachusetts, where they found Anne Sullivan.
She had done all the readings, she had, you know, been through all the teachings, and she was going to teach this child language. And I think when she got thrown into it, it kind of, her whole world turned apart. And she says many times in this show, she doesn't know what to do. Her one focus and belief is that, you know, no person should be kept in this darkness and not be able to communicate with the outside world.
The start of what would be a 5-decade teacher-pupil relationship was made into the play The Miracle Worker. Sarah Raddis plays Sullivan, who was only 20 years old when she moved in with the family at their Alabama home in 1887. Before she became a student at the Perkins School, Sullivan lived with her younger brother in a poorhouse. As Raddis recites in her monologue, the surroundings couldn't have been more chilling.
One ward was full of all the old women, crippled, blind, most of them dying, but even if what they had was catching, there was nowhere else to move them. And that's where they put us. There were younger ones across the hall, prostitutes mostly. The youngest were kept in another ward, having babies they didn't want. It started at 13, 14. They'd leave afterwards, but the babies stayed, and we played with them too. Though most of them had sores all over their bodies from diseases you're not supposed to talk about. Not many of them lived. The room my brother Jimmy and I used to play in was the dead house, where they kept the bodies.
Oh, dear.
Brains. It made me strong. I don't think you need to send Helen there. She's strong enough.
She didn't feel pity for that child because there was nothing to pity. She didn't look at Helen and see a handicap. She looked at Helen like, you know, I look at you, you know, people look at me. It's just, you are a person in this world. You are just as good as anybody else. And she would not have pity at all.
By signing words into her hand, Keller was able to figure out that each object had a name connected to it. The light bulb moment sent Keller on a lifelong affair with learning.
I think this play reminds us that there's something more than just seeing and hearing and speaking. That there are other ways that we can experience the world, other ways that we communicate with each other through smell, through touch, and that maybe we shouldn't be so short-sighted to think that seeing, if you can see something or you can't see something, puts you in one category or another in the way in which you view the world.
Kristen Chesick is the managing director of the production. In the 6 decades since the original script was written, deaf and blind people have made strides that were unfathomable in Helen Keller's time. But Chesick feels the play's overarching message of overcoming limitations is one that still resonates today.
These two people in the world, if they had just given up and decided, I can't communicate like everyone else, then what would have happened? What would have happened if any? And that really is how I've approached this play.
The Miracle Worker will be performed at the Kalamazoo Civic Theater until March 1st. Visit our website for more information.